Hallelujah. So open in our portion. I will deal with our portion of Torah and the New Testament. So thank you, brother, that you read it all for me. Now I can read it in Hebrew. Would you like to hear some Hebrew? It's not to impress you, okay? It's just to, I think it has a nice sound. So will you follow me in the portion from the prophets, Isaiah 60, please? I will read it in Hebrew just to, so you can enjoy the language that Yeshua spoke, because Yeshua read what he read. He did not read this one, he read the next one, okay? 61 in Nazareth, Luke 4. But this is also a nice one. All of God's word is nice, especially when it is heard, I think, in its original language. And I'm privileged, I cannot take any pride. I was born in Israel, so that's how I know Hebrew. Hebrew is a very, very hard language. Probably I would not get it if I would be born in, you know, elsewhere. So, hallelujah. We will read from Isaiah 60. You will follow in your language, English, or any other language. I will read a few verses, okay, to save some time. I will read from verse 1, 2, 2, 2, 2. Actually, I should read all of it. 2. Let me read and I will tell you when I stop and make a leap. It's such a nice chapter, okay? Hallelujah, everyone is awake? You're ready for 3-4 hours preaching? Wonderful! Oh, I cannot because I have a flight waiting for me. Okay, beloved. Kumi ori, arise, shine. Kiva orech, uchvod Adonai alaich zarach. Kihine achoshech yechase eretz, va'arafel leumim. Ve'alaich izrach Adonai. וכבודו עלייך יראה. והלכו גויים לאורך. Yes, the Gentiles should come to your light. ומלכים לנוגע זרחך. שאי סביב עינייך וראי. כולם נקבצו ואו לך. בנייך מרחוק יבואו. ובנותייך על צד תאמנה. אז תראי ונהרת. ופחד ורחב לבבך. כי יהפך עלייך המון ים, חיל גויים יבואו לך, שפעת גמלים תחסך, בכרי מדיין ואיפה, כולם משווה יבואו, זהב ולבונה יישאו, ותהילות אדוני יבשרו, כל צון כדר יקבצו לך, אילי נוויות ישרתונך, יעלו על רצון מזבחי, ובית תפארתי אפאר. מי אלה, I'm in verse 8, מי אלה כאב תעופנה, וחיונים אל ארובותיהם, כי לי איהם יקבו, ואוניות תרשיש בראשונה, להביא בנייך מרחוק, כספם וזהבם איתם, לשם אדוני אלוהיך, ולקדוש ישראל כי פארך. Verse 10. ובנו בני נחר חומותייך, I like this, ומלכיהם ישרתונך, כי, and this is the very interesting one, so I will read it also in English, כי וקצפי הקיתך, וברצוני ריחמתך, for in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I had mercy on you. Beautiful. Verse 12, כי הגוי והממלכה אשר לא יעבדוך יובדו, והגויים חרוב יחרבו. כבוד הלבנון אלייך יבוא, ברוש תדהר ותאשו יחדיו, לפהר מקום מקדשי ומקום רגלי אכבד. והלכו אלייך שכוח בני מעניך, והשתחוו על כפות רגליך כל מנעצייך, וקראו לך עיר אדוני. Zion, Kedosh Israel, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion, the holy of the Holy One of Israel. Verse 18. My wife wrote a song in her last CD, it's a quotation of here. Verse 18, Isaiah 60. לא ישמע עוד חמס, חמס sounds familiar, לא ישמע עוד חמס בארצך, שוד ושבר בגבולייך, וקראת ישועה חומותייך, ושעריך תהילה. לא יהיה לך עוד השמש לאור יומם, ולנוגה הירח לא יאיר לך, והיה לך אדוני לאור עולם, ואלוהייך לתפארתך. Verse 21. ועמך כולם צדיקים, לעולם ירשו ארץ, נצר מטעי, מעשה ידי להתפאר. Verse 22 and the last one. הקטון יהיה לאלף, והצעיר לגוי עצום. And now the key verse. אני אדוני, he uses his Yod-Hei-Vav-Hei, his private name. אני אדוני, בעיתה אחישנה. Hi, the Lord will hasten it in its time. How many of you know that this speaks about the great future awaiting us? Us, I say, whether you are a Gentile sitting here or a Jew, Israelite, you are all, we are all belong to Israel. God never had the covenant, the new covenant. Actually, since Abraham, he never cut a covenant, cut, it's the Hebrew word, lichrot, made a covenant with any nation but Israel, including the Brit Chadasha, the New Testament. Okay, so welcome, grafted in first-class citizens. Amen? So, so how many of you agree with me that this is a classical end-time prophecy, actually, beyond the end time prophecy. I mean, this is the very end, the beautiful end, the happy end of a very, very sorrowful birth pangs, which will precede it. Are you with me? It's beautiful. Actually, it's a mixture. If you noticed, if you read the Haftorah, this Isaiah 6, this beautiful picture, a chapter, you could see that actually God is not a Greek God. Thank God. He's not linear so much. He's not going by order. One and one are two, two and two are four. Forget about it. Don't try to put God in a box. Because there is a mixture of, you know, when the sun will not shine at you anymore. This is Revelation 22 already. This is when the heavenly Jerusalem will come. There will not, the new heaven and earth. It mixed with the millennial kingdom here in this chapter, if you noticed. Okay? Not exactly in an orderly okay manner like we would like to. Let God care for the order. You just get the principle. Are you with me? So, beloved, I, in its time, will hasten it. How many of you will agree with me that time goes fast, too fast? How many of you sitting here on the Sabbath, here in this beautiful synagogue, and Messianic synagogue, and say, it seems like we were here just last week, and it's like 1 day passed. How many of you, is it my age that I think that I'm growing old? I mean, the Lord really hastened it. The snowball is running now down the hill faster and faster as it gathers more snow and becomes more heavy. Are you with me? Yeah. End time events are now. We don't need to wait for end time events. We are at end time events. Yes, hallelujah, amen. Yeah, preach it, brother. But what has it to do with us living at end time? Let me suggest that we are just about in God's timing. It can be 50 years, 5 years, I don't know. I will not be misquoted here to say, Rabbi Rami, Yosef, don't call me Rabbi, by the way. I have my great Rabbi Yeshua. Yeshua's Rabbi's disciple, Talmid. This is enough for me, okay? But Yeshua's disciple came and tell us in July 14th of 2017, he is coming. You will not hear it from me. But beloved, I do want to suggest to you that as our story of salvation is based after the Exodus story, and I blah about it along, you know, go to my website and get all the teachings free of charge, okay? So I don't want now to speak about cycles and all this, yeah? Everything is repeated and all this. But beloved, I want to suggest that we are very soon to cross the Jordan River. But I want to raise the question, who crossed the Jordan River? Were there little children? Yes, of course there are little children here, like the beautiful kids that you have here. Yeah? But I'm talking about spiritual maturity. God got rid of all the unspiritual or immature people from the days of the spies 38 years ago. By the way, why 38 and not 40? Because it happened on the second year. Are you with me? Altogether 40. Okay? But 38 years ago, God saved us spiritually. Yeah? And why he allowed us to walk 38 years? To mature us. Because only mature people are entering, crossing the Jordan River and entering into their possession. Did you hear me? Let's read a few verses which speak about maturity. Without maturity, beloved, and I don't care if you are 1 year in the Lord or 50 years in the Lord. I know some people who are 50 years in the Lord who are just little babes, who still argue about milky stuff. Can you hear me? With your spiritual ears. And I know others who are 2 years in the Lord and I wish I would have their maturity. They will go through the desert, don't worry. They will have their bumps and the snakes and the scorpions, yeah? And the valleys of the shadow of death. But this is all to make them more strong, you know, stronger and mature. Are you following? We only consumed 5 minutes of the 3 hours. Okay. Galatians, beloved. Galatians. Galatians 4. I want to read a few verses. Galatians 4, 1 and 7. I mean, you do not need to go to whichever theological seminary to understand Rabbi Shaul here. Please. He speaks plainly, clearly. You don't need to defend him or to misinterpret him. Just read it as is, for God's sake. Now I say that the heir, we are heirs. Do you believe it? We will inherit God and whatever he has, right? But he says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. Go to verse 7. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Messiah. Go to Ephesians 4, please. Same principle. Ephesians 4:14. You know what? Let's take it in context. Verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints to the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Messiah. Till we all, are you listening? Till we all in this room come to the unity of the faith. And yesterday I spoke in another place about unity, how important it is. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Did you notice? Of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man. Perfect man cannot be 2 years old. Are you with me? Man, he did not say perfect child. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, that, are you ready? That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And the last one, I mean for this introduction, Hebrews 5, please. Hebrews 5. And I love it. Let's start 11. 11 until the end of the chapter. This is, by the way, not a very encouraging passage of scripture. We should take it to heart. Because many of us, even sitting here, I dare to say, because I have some experience. You are not the first Messianic synagogue that I see, okay, or teach at. I come from Israel, plenty of Messianic synagogues. I do this teaching for the last 20 years or so. God gave me a little experience. It's not pride. All that I am is from him. But look at verse 11 of Hebrews 5. For though by this of whom we have much to say, how to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Oops. He speaks to mature believers, or should I say, supposedly mature, or need to be mature, but he is disappointed, and that's what he says. For though by this time, which means they were not babies in the Lord, time-wise, age-wise, they knew him for quite a few years probably, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, and how do I know that they are quite many years in the Lord? I read in between the lines like a good Judas. I read every jot and tittle. Why am I saying it now? Because by saying to them, for now you all needed to be teachers, Paul in another epistle says, if it's Paul, never mind. In another epistle we are told, do not let young in the faith be teachers. Are you with me? So when he approaches them, like, by this time you all should have been teachers, it means they are supposed to be mature. They are aged, seasoned in the Lord. Maybe they are 10 years, 15, 50 years in the Lord. And still, they are immature. Could it be that some of us, including your servant, are in this position? We are in Elul, in the month of Slichot. Slichot is not only, Slicha by the way is pardon, forgive me, yeah? Okay? Slichot is not only to for your sins, but also how you treat God's word. And soon you will see that even our Torah portions speak about people who should be mature and actually are still babes. It's all grace. Thank Abba. Soon you will see how God put us all in this trap. He did not put us in this trap. We put ourselves in this trap, but he allows it. So we will not be as prideful as we are. Some humility will not harm us, all of us. And we will see how this Torah portion has some nuggets for us. Okay, verse 12, Hebrews 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the world of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Are you ready? People who are of full age in God, in Messiah, listen carefully. Those who by reason of use or other translations habit, those who developed good habits to discern between good and evil. They don't need now the Torah to tell them what is evil. They are by habits. Are you with me? They are not children. Do this, do that. Oh, Joseph, you need a spank. Take your trousers off. Excuse me? I have a son who will join the army. Please pray for him next year. Michael, who is like God. I want him to carry this name, yeah, into the army, whatever he wants to do. You know, those machos, they want special forces. But friends, why did I mention Michael? Can you imagine me needing to spank Michael? 17 soon, November he will be 18 years old. Does it come into your mind? If it comes, it means that you yourself are not mature. Yeah, you let children be children, but one day they need to grow of their childhood, childish behavior. Are you with me? By reasoning, by habits, they need to know what their father and mother like or dislike. Are you with me? They don't need to go, oh, a checklist. Oh, we did not do this. Or, oh, the father is mad with us. No! We are to be adults, mature in the Lord, if we really want to meet him one day. By reasons of use of their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now you remember I told you God actually kind of trapped us in this flesh. Paul speaks about it, yeah? By the way, in the dear person, precious person who preached about the Torah and after in the New Testament portion, spoke about it, mentioned a little bit, touched on it. In Romans, actually, I mean, he touched on the context, yeah, out of which I want to speak now, about one thing. How does Paul, or Rav Shaul, yeah, the teacher Shaul, ends his dealings or his explanation about Israel, Romans 9, 10, 11. How many remember? He says, wow, God is so wise. He actually trapped everyone, Jew and Gentile, yeah? Israel and Gentiles into the same trap of disobedience. So he can get the glory when he saves them. Are you listening? What did Rav Shaul base his teaching on, beloved people, precious people of God? Did he have New Testament? Did Paul, like Yosef, your servant, turn into Hebrews? Or First Thessalonians? Or Romans? No! He was them, so to speak, as he preached. But what did he base it? We know that they kept the readings, right? Torah, prophets, what we call mistakenly Old Testament. There is no Old Testament, by the way. There is Old Covenant, Mount Sinai, versus New Covenant, Mount Golgotha, I call it. Yeah. The New Testament or Old Testament do not speak of set of books. Are you with me? They are books which describe the covenant itself, the action. Okay, enough, blah, blah, blah. Let's now go to some nuggets, treasures, that the Torah portion gives us. You know, in Galatians, the same Galatians, God says through Shaul, that the Torah tutored us. Hey, you are misbehaving. To what? To Yeshua. Shall I say it in picture, foreshadow? Joshua. Because Moses did not let him in. Are you with me? Torah does not get you in. Torah leads you to Yeshua, Jesus, who crosses the Jordan, who opens the Jordan for you. Are you with me? It's not Moses, it's Yeshua. And it's a beautiful picture. But let's be tutored, shall we, by treasures from the Torah. The body, the first body of the first century never neglected the readings from the Torah. Why? Because we need to be reminded where we came from and where we are going to. So, let's see some nuggets from our Torah portion, shall we? And I want to start with a surprising passage from our Torah portion. Ready? Go with me to Deuteronomy 29, after the list, the terrible list of curses. Deuteronomy 29:3. Some of the mysteries in God's words, if you ask me. Are you there? Deuteronomy 29, verse 3. Strange verse. Where am I? Yeah. Sorry, in the English it's 2. Okay? In the English, it's verse 2. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Beloved, I want you to look it, to look at it and to hear. To hear. My wife makes fun of me of changing the age and the E, yeah? Most Israelis do. So, but you know what I'm talking about. To hear with your ears, with your spiritual ears, yeah? Moses speaks to physical people. He doesn't speak in the air, right? He speaks to the generation which is about to cross the Jordan. Are you with me? Please put yourself in the spiritual position of what I told you before. We are about to cross our Jordan into our inheritance. Yeshua is coming soon. Look what he tells his people before they entered their inheritance. Something strange. To Pharaoh, you know, you saw all of this, yeah? Now in verse 3, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs that and those great wonders, are you ready? Verse 4. Yet the Lord, Yod Eivavhei, is not giving you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. Do you agree that it's strange? Excuse me, Abba. How can you expect me to follow you if you don't give me revelation of how to follow you? How do you expect me to mature as you want? You want me to be mature, yeah? Before I cross the Jordan, you want me to cross as mature. But please give me revelation. That's exactly where God wants each and every one of us. He does not want us to be puffed up by pride, especially with knowledge, mainly male, fleshly knowledge that you acquire in this theological cemetery or the other one. My beloved, God is not about theology. God is about relationship. God, theos, cannot be put in logic. Logia, doctrine. Yeah, he has doctrines. But you can know all, the demons know all better than you about these doctrines. Does it help them? He wants personal relationship. So intentionally, he hides from us. Maybe it's not a principle that you accept. I don't know. I really hope that you are messianics. Messianics should accept it, yeah? That God created evil and good, right? God is God. He's not equal to Satan. There is no dualism. There is only one God that I know, at least. All the rest, including this Mr. Satan, is not even Mr. Yeah? Beloved, and I don't dare to take too much, you know. I am very careful as I treat also Satan. He's much more powerful than me. Okay? But he is not my God. And God will place him under my feet, not me. I'm not presumptuous like in many churches. Hey, Satan, I command you. Really? Really? Especially when you live in sin, do you think? Remember the sons of Sceva? You can remember Shapiro and Hanania? Yeah, I can give you more. You know what I mean? Don't take God and the super spiritual realm, you know, lightly. But friends, God will blind our eyes or will step aside so we will feel, where are you? And we want him. God will lead us to the shadows, the valleys of the shadows of death, so we can seek him. Are you with me? It's upside down. In Hebrew we say, afuch al afuch. Upside down from what most of the church teaches. Come and a garden of smelly roses, pink roses, you know. Really? I don't think the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt and they saw the Egyptians dead, yeah, their past, baptism, what about dead, they did not go into enter a rosy garden. They rather went into the, yeah, difficulties, trials of life. Yeshua discouraged us from following him. Why? To test our hearts. The birds have nests. The foxes have holes. You want to follow me? You might not have a place to lay your head at, a cushioned pillow tonight. You really want to follow me? Would you follow me all the way to Jerusalem? Crucifixion? How much you really do want to follow me? So God will not reveal all his truth to you. Why? Because you will be dead in a moment. God will mature you. It's like you with the babies. You will not feed them steak. You will kill them. Literally, you will kill your baby. Because all his system is not ready for it. So God is giving a revelation, and he makes sure that we will want them. How many times does the Bible tell us that the disciples did not understand Yeshua? Just to save time, I will give you some verses, okay? Just to say, I will not read them, okay? Marcus 9:32, Luke 2:50, Luke 9:45, 18:34. In all those verses, Yeshua speaks to them, and they are... He broadcasts on Fox, you know, waves, and they are still in CNN or whatever. It says they did not understand, they did not have a clue what he's talking about. Remember the two who went down from to Emmaus? They did not even recognize him. Not because they were stupid or short memory. They saw him 3 days before, right? Come on. They were not, they didn't have dementia, whatever you call it. Yeah? No! They were healthy Jews who walked quite a lot, more than us. They were in good shape. Yet, whoops! Did you think about it? Mary at the grave. Remember? She mistaken him with the gardener. Why? God, not Satan. God is putting the veil. What? The mysteries of God. Hallelujah, we cannot put him in a box. Hallelujah. So, can we depend on something? Of course we can depend. We can depend on his principles. Are you with me? Not on his doctrines, because no doctrine is perfect. I did not find one theologian who could answer all my questions yet. I don't think I will find him till the day I die. Because when you try to put God in a box, this box, oops, it jumps out. If the heaven and the earth cannot contain his glory, why this fleshly box that we use maybe 10% of it, or at least we know about 10%, why do you think you can put him there? There are some mysteries that we need to seek God with all of our hearts, might, soul, so he can reveal us a little by little, by little. Like more food, and the baby grows, grows, grows. So what are the principles which are very important for our growth in the Lord? I told you we will be stuck a little bit in the portion of the week, and you will see that I teach you New Testament from the Torah. So, number one principle is in the Torah portion in 26, the opening verses. The attitude that the believer should have when he entered his inheritance. Beloved, again, we think that maturity, Sandy, is to know all the doctrines about God, to know the Godhead, yeah, to define it, of course, to know this, to know that, da-da-da-da-da, God is da-da-da-da-da, yeah, Satan is da-da-da-da-da, that's how we should, you know, doctrines, creeds. I believe in God the Father, I believe in God. So what? The demons also. One of the principles of a mature believer is actually the opposite. It's here. Shall we read it? Opposite of what I just described. I know this, I know that, all the creeds of the world, I know. This is what I believe. Who cares what you believe? And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, beloved, So far, do you agree with me that he speaks to mature people? Who already got in? Ki tavo, when you enter in. Whoops, they're already in. Hallelujah. Really? Let's see a fruit of a mature believer. Friends, when I hear a believer, brother in the Lord, brother, sister, oh, I know this and I know that. Red lights. Bing, 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 bing. Are you with me? But when I rather hear a believer having the approach, the attitude which is described here, I say, ooh, I can fellowship with her. Ah, we have the same base. He, she are humble. Let's see. That you shall take some of the first of the produce of the of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring. By the way, here, look at it in spiritual eyes. The products, the seven species, yeah? The rabbis teach that this was the seven species, okay? That you need to bring to the temple in Jerusalem. How many gifts of the Holy Spirit there are? Seven. Interesting? Okay? Hey, fruits. Okay? Beloved, look at it spiritually. You bring from the fruits that God gave you, okay? From the spiritual gifts that God gave you, that the Lord God is giving you, and put it on a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And soon we'll talk about, as believers, where is the place, really. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. I want you to look at the altar as the cross, as the tree of the crucifixion. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian or Arami in Hebrew. About to perish, it's not a right translation. Completely lost. Arami Oved Avi. I am admitting my past to you, oh my God, full of mercies and grace. I have nothing to offer you. And even what I gave you now is what you have given me. I'm not inventing it. That was written. That the Lord is giving you. Do you see it? I know who I am before you, Abba. My father sinned. Daniel, we just read Daniel. Maturity of a believer. Israelite, true Israelite with no guile. Like Daniel, like Jeremiah, is to identify with the sinful people. He's sinful. Did Daniel really need to do his confession and say, oh, I sinned? No! He was a wonderful man. Am I right? Did Jeremiah need to know? But they took, like Yeshua, picture of Yeshua, the sins of their people and identified it with it. Are you with me? That's maturity. Yes, I know about God a lot. About God. I wish I would know him as much as I know about him. Are you with me? But where is the meekness? Blessed are the meek, the humble, the low in spirit. The Beatitudes never changed, beloved. God will never receive a full cup. He will receive an empty cup. Are you with me? God will never fill a filled cup. Doesn't make sense. Do you serve me coffee in the morning when I did not finish it? Or when I just took one sip, you want to fill it? No! You wait till the cup is empty. God wants us and he will lead us in our life into places and circumstances which will empty our cup. Yeah, write it down. Because he wants only our good. And children in the flesh cannot inherit what he prepared for us. Only mature people. What is mature? PhD in theological seminar? The opposite. Somebody who says, oh gosh, I'm not better than my fathers. Arami Oved Avi. My father is just for the Syrian, and then he confesses all the goodness of God upon him. And I continue because we are short in time, I think. At least I am. Ahem. So, by the way, Revelation chapter 4, remember the 24 elders? Do you remember what they do when they hear holy, holy, holy? Yes, they prostrate before the throne, but what do? Come on. Very good. Take the crowns. Who gave them the crowns? God! You take, one day we will take the crowns, set it and say, wow, how awesome you are. Everything came from you. Everything goes back to you. We submit ourselves anew, daily, hourly, momentarily. Yeah, let's continue. Beloved, can you bear with me some more? Another treasure or two? Nuggets? Let's go to last portion. We heard about the one hanged, the accursed of God hanged on a tree. Are you with me? Last portion. Last Shabbat. Of course we know who it was, right? And there it spoke about a one who commits sins which is unto death, which means deserves death, right? Last portion. Last Torah portion. Friends, I want to show you that we all deserve death according to this portion. And how God beautifully, only like he knows how to do it, portrayed the gospel in this portion. We just need to ask him, Abba, lift a little bit more. Give us more spiritual eyes. Give us more of this heart to know you. Remember? It's about him taking it, uplifting it. So let's ask him and now go to the gospel which is preached to us in our Torah portion. Shall we? In chapter 29. Chapter 28, sorry. If you noticed, there are only 13 verses, about 13 verses which describe the blessings. How many verses describe the curses? I did not even count them. 60, 70? Yeah? Woo! You can say, wow, it's not fair. You know, it's not, I mean, if you put it on the weights, yeah? But it's the severity of if we don't follow, of the consequences that we need to bear if we do not follow, like the gentleman here said before, yeah? But my question is, when you read Deuteronomy 28, the blessing and the curses, come on,